Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode of the Euro Trip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before partying the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. It's James with you today. Rob is off on his honeymoon, but rest assured, I've still got everything you've come to know us for. This week, I'll be chatting to Electric Fields as they prepare to represent Australia in just 4 weeks' time. It's 5 years since we first got to know Michael and Zachariah when they took part in the Aussie National Final Show Australia Decides with the song 2000 and Whatever. Since then, there's been the odd rumour every now and again that they'd thrown their hat into the ring again to try and represent Australia, but here we are now in 2024, where it's all been signed, sealed, and delivered. We'll chat to them all about it very shortly. Also, pre-party season continued at the weekend with shows in Barcelona and in London. Somebody who was there in the British capital was Connor Devlin from the Eurovision podcast. He'll tell us what it was like to be there and which performances really stood out. And it's a bit of a pre-party double bill because our march to Malmö continues this week. I'll be chatting to the organiser of the Malmö Hagen pre-party, who'll give us an insight into what the newest pre-party has in store. So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip. Hopefully this is the second time you're tuning into the podcast this week. If it's not, then it means you've missed our exclusive interview with Andrew Cartmell. He's the UK's head of delegation, and last year he was the executive producer of the entire contest in Liverpool. I sat down with him for about 40 minutes or so in his first interview of the Eurovision season. He rarely chats to the media anyway, so he'd be hard-pressed to find him popping up anywhere else for such an in-depth conversation. Thanks for all your kind messages about that episode that we released on Monday. Will tweeted us, we're at Eurotrip Podcast, and he said simply, great interview with Andrew, nice and succinct. And Scott said, brilliant and insightful as always. Well, we always aim to be insightful. We try and be brilliant, and it's nice that you said that, Scott. Thank you both for those messages. Plenty of you were getting in touch with your UK spokesperson predictions as well. If you missed it, I asked Andrew if he decided who'd be reading out the UK's jury points, to which he said yes, but naturally didn't elaborate any further. So many of you were saying Hannah Waddingham. I wonder if that's more of hope than actual belief. But I do agree, she would be a natural choice. Harv on Twitter said, Philomena Kunk, please, I beg. I do wonder if that's a very British reference. If you're overseas, do let me know if you know who Philomena Kunk is. I'm not entirely sure if she's pan-European or gone global yet. And Callum as well from our website. He said Shuti Gatwa. Maybe it will be actors from Doctor Who 2 years in a row. A few of you also said Rina Sawayama. We learnt on this podcast, didn't we, last summer, that she had been approached to represent the UK in 2023, but ultimately that didn't get across the line. But yeah, some people out there think she'd announce the points and reveal that she's going to represent the UK in 2025 all in one go. We'll see about that. Now then, it's just 4 weeks until the Eurotrip Live. Yes, for the second year in a row, Rob and I will be hosting a live event during Eurovision week. This year, we'll be at the Euro Fan Cafe in Malmö on Thursday, the 9th of May at 1 p.m. We'll be recording a live episode of the podcast with a very special panel. And the best thing is, it is entirely free to attend. All you have to do is head to the Eventbrite link in the description of the episode to register. And that's it. You're in. You'll have the opportunity to submit a question when you register. So if you've got a burning Eurovision question, then make sure you write that down when you sign up for your free ticket. Yes, it is time for all the latest Eurovision news. And as we keep saying over the last few weeks, we're in that period where there's a lot happening, but also at the same time, it also feels like there isn't a lot happening. So I just thought we'd focus on pre-parties. And as I've mentioned, Barcelona on Saturday, and then London on Sunday, and one person who was there in London as press and also in the crowd to experience the full event was Conor Devlin from the Eurovision podcast, and he's here with me now. Conor, hello.
Hey, how are you? How's things? How you keeping?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Nice to see you. How was Sunday? That's the big question. How was the day?
Oh, it was brilliant. You know, London Eurovision party is always a great experience. I always underestimate how tired I will be, though, because I always book that early morning flight thinking, I'll be grand. I don't need another night in London. And by Sunday night, I'm, you know, feet are throbbing. Everything's hurting, but it's worth it. That's what we do for LEP. But it was a great show. Great acts. Everyone was fantastic. So I was really impressed coming away from it.
It's been a few years since I was at LEP. I think 2019 was the last time I was there, and I distinctly remember it being the longest day of my life. You know, you get there really early, and whether you press or whether you're just a fan, so you press and you'll be with the artist. If you're a fan, you might queue up for ages just to try and meet the artist and get some photos. And then it doesn't finish until about 12 or 1. What time did it finish?
The show finished at 1 a.m. and actually it was probably about 20 past 1 by the time it finished, and then they had a DJ set until 2 a.m. So It was full on. But like you said, yeah, you're literally there from the crack of dawn and then add a flight into that and a delayed flight on top of that. So it was everything. I was like, oh God, I'll never get a bit of a respite. But it's worth it. It's such a fun event and I recommend anyone going to it.
Who was the standout artist? Sorry, I've gone in with a really difficult one there straight away.
It's really hard. I come away from it, you know, every year with my tops changing. Honestly, I was impressed with every single performance. I thought everyone was brilliant. I got a shout out at Ireland's very own Bambi Thug. I thought they blew the house down on the night. They did Tsunami and obviously Doomsday Blue. But the crowd reaction, it was as if I was at their own concert. They had a big introduction. The crowd was going electric. So you can tell they've got that stage experience. So I was really impressed. And obviously we see now in the odds, you know, they've moved up, you know, 2, 3, 4 places, I think, since LEP. So got to shout out Bambi. But Georgia.
Shall we chat a bit more about Bambi?
Yeah,
before
sure.
You mentioned Georgia. We'll come to Georgia in a second because I heard you mention that there. But Bambi Thug, I mean, we haven't spoken much about Ireland on the podcast since Eurosong. I think, were you there in the audience for Eurosong? You know, you saw their performance a couple of months ago and then you've seen them perform on Sunday. How have you seen them develop? Have they improved?
Yes, but, you know, they were brilliant at Eurosong. So I wouldn't even say vocally, but in terms of, you know, we know what Eurosong's like. It's a corner of a studio. It's a very small space. LED screens aren't great. The audio isn't great. So just to see them in a better surrounding, you know, even from Madrid last week was brilliant. But even at LEP, you know, the huge stage, the huge LED screen, the great audio. You can see they've got that stage experience from doing festivals in and around the UK and also in France, I believe it too. So you can just see that they're developing. And I've really been confident about them qualifying very early on since Eurosong, you know, after they won. I just could, you know, obviously we do our research for, you know, before Eurosong with researching the acts, and to see what they've done before really is, you know, it's testament to them now because they are killing it. You know, you can see it in their performances. So I can only imagine what we've got in store for Malmo and the staging plans. And yeah, I just hope to God that we get to the final and we get that chance to finally be there on the party on the Saturday night. But I have full faith in Bambi and I would be shocked if we were not in that final.
Because their stage presence is sublime, isn't it? You know, when they're on that stage, you really know about it, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're captivated, you know. Doomsday Blue is obviously a very Marmite song. You either love it or you're going to hate it, but you are gripped by it either way. You know, you are intrigued by it. You're not bored during a Bambi Thug performance. So I think that will definitely grab the standard viewer and be like, what is this on the stage right now? What is happening? This is Ireland, the little nation on the corner of Europe, what? So I have full faith in Bambi and I can't wait to see what happens.
Right, okay, enough about Ireland, because we could probably talk for hours about Ireland with you here. But you mentioned Georgia earlier on as another standout from Sunday's performances, right?
Yeah, I'd been kind of sleeping on Firefighter for a while, and I thought, you know, I don't know if it was just the crowd or the choreography or the bass coming through on the sound system, but it was such an intriguing performance, and especially with what, you know, she's been through recently. It's great to see her fully confident on the stage, you know, performing the song to, you know, an A-plus standard. And I think Georgia will probably be back in the final this year, I hope to God, because I think this song probably deserves it after seeing it live. I've definitely been streaming it a lot more since Sunday, so I think I probably haven't done Georgia justice with my reviews previously, but I think she did a fantastic performance on the night. But honestly, like James, everyone was brilliant. Like I didn't come around, you know, come away from it thinking anyone was bad or anyone was poor. Yeah, I think, look, everyone should be really proud of themselves after Sunday night.
You were there in a press capacity as well, so you were managing to catch up with some of the performers beforehand, so, you know, in between sound checks and as they were preparing to go on stage, and released that episode of the Eurovision podcast, which I listened to before, and it was just great to hear some of those artists coming across so well. And I think what I'm learning about the class of 2024, I don't know if you agree from chatting to some of them, they're all so positive, aren't they? There's just so much positivity around the class this year, isn't there?
Absolutely. They all are genuinely lovely people. And, you know, sometimes you just say that because we have to say it nearly as press. But honestly, you know, they are all lovely. They all are fully, engrossed in the experience. They're all loving the experience. I don't think anyone is hating it. They're all very positive about Malmö and looking forward to, you know, being with fans in Malmö. These pre-party events, they can be tiring. You know, a lot of them came directly from Barcelona. Their flight had been cancelled and, you know, you wouldn't tell. They were all very positive. They were happy to be there, smiles on their faces. So I think, you know, the class of 2024 is very clearly a lovely group. And I just, it's tough now because obviously we're getting into the competition side of things where you lose people in the semi-finals and, you know, people might not be in the top half as you think they are, you know, but I just hope every single one of them has a fantastic time in Malmö because they really deserve it. And they've all worked really hard to be where they are, so they should be proud of themselves.
Have you got a dark horse at this point? Is there an artist where you think a lot of people are sleeping on them, but from what I've seen, I had a chat with them perhaps on Sunday. Is there anybody, you know, you think we should keep an eye on?
Germany. People are hating on Germany, and I don't know why. His vocals are fantastic, and he has such... He's got such great charisma. He's, you know, he's the laugh of the class, you know what I mean? He's always cracking jokes. He's, you know, full of spirits. We didn't get to speak to him directly, but just briefly for a moment. He's just so warm, so loving. And I think juries will really appreciate his vocal. He, you know, give him a bit more of a stage package because at the moment it does look like he's just turned up on the stage and, you know, is off the streets, you know, just wandering in after a good day. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'll sing the song for you. But I think, honestly, he will do much better than people expect. I don't think he'll be, you know, top 10 or top 12 or anything like that. But I think a middle table result for Germany would be really good for them considering where they've been in the past few years. So I think watch out for Germany.
That would be an improvement, wouldn't it? Anywhere above the bottom of the scoreboard for Germany would be a great result.
Exactly, exactly. And even for Isaac himself, I think, just to, you know, give him a confidence boost because he admits himself, you know, he listens to reviews and people are very clearly not liking the song. But I think if the German broadcaster give him a good stage package and everything like that, I think he will do well for Germany.
Yeah, we spoke to Dan Shipton on the podcast a month or so ago, and he told us then he's doing the staging for Germany. So it's worth going back to listen to that to give you an idea about what Germany might have in store. But speaking more about you guys over at Eurovision, what's the plan over the next 4 weeks? As we chat today, it's 4 weeks until the first semi-final, which Ireland will be in, of course. What are your plans for the next month or so?
No sleep. That's it. We're busy. We're kicking off our quickfire ratings soon enough. So we'll have an episode really every day up until the rehearsals start. So quick 20-minute episodes just reviewing the songs. We're joined by two team members this year, Alex Basmati and Michal. Glasgow Michal, as we call him on the podcast. Alex and himself will be joining us to rate the episodes to review the songs this year. That's where our famous kind of check a fight from last year happened, so a lot of people who listen to the podcast will know about that. So we'll see what happens this year. If myself and Lou can agree or disagree on a few songs, we'll have to wait and see. But that's really where we're at the moment. We also have probably a little exclusive for you guys. We have a very special episode coming up on the 30th of April for the anniversary of Rock and Roll Kids.
Ah, very exciting.
Maybe we might have one of the presenters on the podcast as well from the night that Riverdance famously took over Europe. So we'll have to wait and see. But that's the plans for the moment. But, you know, just building towards Malmö 2024 and, building the excitement.
Very nice. Everyone's talking about the 50th anniversary of ABBA. But for you Rock and for me, because I love it as well.
Riverdance.
30th anniversary. Absolutely. Oh, Connor, it's been great to catch up. And no doubt we'll see you again in Malmö in a few weeks' time.
Thanks so much, James.
Hiya loves, it's me, Danny Beard off the telly.
And I'm DJ Billy Andrew.
And we are the Gossip Gays podcast. And here we like to celebrate your dirty dilemmas, your queer confessions, and basically your daily filth.
Remember when that guy got in touch and told us about the time he his or the listener who got caught?
Oh, well, I was kind of into that one then.
Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah. So we're here, we're queer, and we're always whispering gossip straight into your ear.
Listen to the Gossip Gays wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gossip Gays.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. It's great to have you with me. I feel like we're flying through it today. No Rob, no waffle. I don't mean that. I mean, like, there's no back and forward. So I can just blast through everything. It'll be great to have him back so we can have a bit of back and forth. But today, we're really racing through it. So hopefully, I can make up for that with the bonus episode that we released on Monday. It's like adding to the amount of Eurovision content you're getting from us this week. Hopefully that makes up for the lack of Rob. We'll be marching to Malmö in a moment, but first a few of your messages. And as we've grown accustomed to some of your Eurovision songs in the wild, yeah, we've been doing this for what seems like weeks and months now, where you lot getting in touch when you hear a Eurovision song out and about when you least expect it. I'm going to read one out from Stuart. He sent us a bunch a few weeks ago, and I've been spreading them out over the last few weeks. So one last one from Stuart, and then some of the other ones you've been in touch with. Stuart said, one time while visiting the in-laws in the south of France, I popped into the local Hyper-U, presumably it's a supermarket, for some groceries, and was welcomed by the sound of Poupée de Cire, Poupée de Sang by France Gall coming over the speakers. I suppose this would be akin to someone in the UK hearing Sandy Shaw or Lulu in Morrison's. It's weird, did we not have somebody last week? I'm trying to find my notes from last week's episode, I can't find them anyway. Who said the... heard a Eurovision song in a Morrison's? Did he not work in a supermarket? It's ringing a bell, so yes, I guess it is rather akin to that, Stuart. Another one from Tom. Tom emailed us. We are hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. Tom said, hello, Eurotrip. Yesterday evening, I was at the cinema watching the fabulous Italian film Se Ancora Domani. Apparently, the movie was a huge hit in Italy last year, bigger than Barbie, and it finally made its way to the Dutch screens. I must admit, it's not a film I've heard of. But he goes on to say, colour me surprised. What a phrase that is, by the way. Colour me surprised. Colour me surprised when I heard the opening sequence was set to Aprite la Finestra. Yes, indeed. Italy's first ever song competing in Eurovision, all the way back in 1956. Upon further research, he says, I found out that they didn't use the Franco Raimondi version, but a cover by Fiorella Bini. Still, I never expected to hear a song from the first Eurovision Song Contest in the cinema. Keep up the good work with the podcast. Yeah, thanks, Tom. No, I wonder. I don't think I've ever heard a Eurovision song from 1956 pop up anywhere. Obviously, it used to... I say obviously. But there was often times, wasn't there, in the early days when songs weren't actually released from the early editions of the contest. So perhaps you would never end up hearing them. I know that was the case for the UK's first ever entry. It was never actually released as a single. Anyway, I move on because I've got an email from John as well. John says, hello guys, thank you for keeping me entertained over all things Eurovision. I'm a pretty new listener, but we'll be following along from now on. Well, welcome John, welcome to the Eurotrip family. He says he's got two things he wants to talk about, the first being songs in the wild. Well, naturally, he's come to the right place. He says, my girlfriend was in New Look in the dressing room. It's a clothes shop here in the UK, if you're from overseas. And she was in the dressing room and she was singing along to a song. She couldn't decide where she'd heard it before, but it was so familiar. It then hit her. It was Riley and Breaking My Heart. So a song from last year, it screams of New Look, doesn't it? If you're from the UK, you can hear it, can't you? Tell me I'm not the only one. It just screams of a clothes shop. It seems so right. He then goes on as well for his other point. Forgive me. He's got another Eurovision Song in the Wild. Let me read that out. He says, I was sitting in my office at work last summer, window wide open. The next thing I know. A car pulled up to traffic lights outside and blasting from the car came Yodelit. Wow. Never thought I'd hear the song coming from someone's car in a small town in Scotland. I must admit, John, I didn't expect to hear that song anywhere. Of course, it was Romania 2017. Clearly, that must have been a Eurovision fan. I do not accept that that could have just been on a radio station here in the UK. Anyway, John's final point says that we got a new kitten 2 years ago. Okay, so this is reference to last week. I think we did a call out for your pets who are named after Eurovision artists. And John has delivered. He said, we got a new kitten 2 years ago, which we named Louis. Once Sam Ryder came second in 2022, I tried to persuade my girlfriend to change his name to Ryder. Oh, it's a bit disappointing now, though, because he says, sadly, it was vetoed. However, it's the perfect name for the next pet. Oh, this is a roller coaster. It's the perfect name for the next pet in my life whenever it comes. What a roller coaster that was. So, yes. Yeah, Ryder. I guess it is a Eurovision reference. And, yeah, a good name definitely for a dog. So, there we go. John is all set up for when he gets his next pet. Well, thanks, John. And thanks, everybody who's been in touch this week. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you've heard a Eurovision song in the wild, if you've named a pet after a Eurovision artist, or anything to do with the podcast or Eurovision in general. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. And you can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. Now then, it's time for this. Yes, it's time for the March to Malmö, our weekly pilgrimage to this year's host city. I still can't get over the disgusting food museum from last week. I'm still in two minds about whether or not I really want to go or not. If you're going to Malmö, let me know if you're brave enough to actually go. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, go and listen. I spoke to the museum director of the disgusting food museum in Malmö. It's quite the listen. Well, this week we're getting very close to Malmö, but not quite into the city itself. Because earlier on I spoke to James Penrose. He's the organiser of the newest Eurovision party, which takes place in Copenhagen on March the 4th. So 3 days before the first semi-final and just a day before the turquoise carpet and opening ceremony. So as I say, to find out a little bit more about it and what they have in store if you do indeed have a ticket, here's what happened when I caught up with James a little bit earlier on. James Penrose, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, James. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Nice to see you, and nice to be chatting about a brand new Eurovision pre-party, as I was just mentioning there. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I think it's an idea that's been knocking around for a while. I think there's certainly been a huge growth in coverage, interest, concerts and pre-parties throughout the year. And I think also it's based upon feedback that a number of us have done with fans, artist delegations, in terms of some of the missing gaps, perhaps, in terms of audience interaction or having a vote, as we will have. We will actually have a vote in a very respectful way at the end for fun. So it's not a super feature, but it is a feature that we will have at the end, and it will be hosted like a grand final of its own, but without as much glamour and budget, I'm sure, because it is privately funded.
And that's one of the things that's going to set this pre-party apart from some of the others. And obviously, as we've been chatting about already on the podcast today, there's different pre-parties and they bring their own style and their own thing. And obviously, the one we're talking about here is something new and offers something different, including that vote at the end, right, where there's a bit of interactivity. I don't know if that's a word. You know what I mean by it, though.
Certainly, yeah. And the vibe that we're creating, we've deliberately gone for more of what we're calling a sort of festival chill vibe. So we are unique on the scene of pre-parties that amongst the seven for this year, at least. We have two different stages. So we have a festival activity plan with a day program that we've recently added in our fantastic venue. And then on the inside, we also have the more traditional, let's say, LED stage type facilities. And we have seated arrangements. A lot of the fan feedback has been that they really want to have more seats. And we've been very mindful building something that both the artist delegation feedback and the fans can enjoy. So we've deliberately targeted and been partnering with a load of OGAE organizations, as well as independent media podcasters like yourself, to connect, especially the audiences in the US, Australia, and some of those huge fans, which who really want to travel to Europe, and just doesn't make financial sense to do two trips in such short succession.
And I know at this point you're still getting some artists to sign on the dotted line for the lineup, but there is already some of the lineup already out there. So give us an idea about who we will be able to see for those of us who have tickets.
Yeah, sure. So we have 8 of the 2024 class already announced, and we have a number of other announcements we're going to be making this week and the week after. I would love to be able to reveal a very exclusive announcement for you today. I'm not able to do it just yet, but let me just tell you, one of the acts we will have will be incredibly exciting. Perhaps you can guess which one it might be. And the tickets are still available. We have deliberately made the mission that this is not for profit, especially in this year. These parties, having met with, I think, all of the organisers of the other ones, are not cheap to run. We're not going to be competing with an Amsterdam in terms of a seated arena with that scale, but we are very much looking forward to going there this week as a team as well, because we want to learn and talk to people about what their expectations are from our community, and then also what the delegations and artists want as well. So it's very much a show, cabaret, intimate festival vibe, and it will be hosted by James Barr from the UK. He's organised some parties for some of our team over the last 4 years.
I think one thing that a lot of people might be learning listening to you speak right now is that these kind of events don't just happen overnight. You know, you've got to put in a lot of work, right?
Yeah, and hats off to all of those other promoters for what they've built. The Barcelona, we've just come back as a team from there. In 3 years, it's gone from a very, you know, much smaller party to a much larger one. And then they also had a programme on the Friday, which was excellent. It was an outdoor area, which was more party vibes or clubbing Ibiza vibes, for those of you who know Ibiza well. And I say, our vibe was very much more, for those of you in the UK, it would feel much more like a Café de Paris or a show, or maybe going to a theatre production in terms of being hosted like a grand final and then having opportunities to vote. So that's for the 2024 class, with many more acts to follow. Obviously, there's always been a risk/challenge because we've deliberately planned to do it on the Saturday before the turquoise carpet, which means there are a number of countries who are rehearsing on that day or have other parties as part of the scheduling as well. But we are still able to get quite a number of the acts coming live, which is good. But then we have a second concert. So we will also have an after-party concert, and we'll be putting tickets available for that as well as the festival day program. So people will also be able to come along and enjoy around 14 or 15 acts as well. So it's quite a big scheduling job. We have a fantastic scheduler, our head of show, and we have an incredible amount of Excel and database skills to manage the time.
Very, very exciting. Clearly a lot of work for you and your team to do, but it sounds clearly like you're on top of it, which is good. And one thing we should say, I don't think we've reiterated this enough, is that it's in Copenhagen, but it is not a million miles away from Malmö. It's only, what, did you say a 12-minute train ride across the bridge? I can't exactly remember how long it is.
Exactly correct. It is 12 minutes one stop, Copenhagen Airport, directly to Malmö Arena Station. It is then 32 minutes or 4 stops from Malmö Arena to our venue, which is by Copenhagen Central. We're also offering some discounts with partners. So you'll be able to participate in the brand new home of Carlsberg. But it's an incredible digital interactive museum about the history of the Carlsberg brothers. And it's just steps away from our arena and our venue. And we'll also have some deals with other tourist canal tours and go boat as well. So people will get discount codes as well as with some of the LGBT organizations in Copenhagen. So yes, and I know a lot of you this year are staying in Copenhagen, or you are doing both cities as well with that bridge. So we will hopefully see a lot of you there. And if not there, in the Malmö Media Center.
James, it's been great to catch up. It's great to find out more about, as you say, the newest pre-party on the calendar. And we'll see you there on the 4th of May.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
It is now time to turn our attention to Electric Fields, Australia's representative for 2024. and the latest member of this year's class to join us on the podcast. If we haven't spoken to your favourite yet, don't worry, we will be chatting to a whole host of them over the next few weeks. So yeah, buckle up as we chat to more of them over the next few weeks or so. But Electric Fields now, they are made up of Michael and Zachariah, and they are very, very fun, as you will hear in just a second. Perhaps, like me, you first got to know them when they first tried to represent Australia in 2019, and they were pipped at the post by Kate Miller-Heidke. Well, this year, with still no return of a national final down under, the pair were selected internally by SBS, the Aussie broadcaster. So to find out more about them, the song, and their goals for 2024, I caught up with them a little bit earlier on. Electric Fields, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you both?
Really good, thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely to be with you, James. I was talking with my friend from London about 9 hours ago. So if it's the morning now, I must have been talking to her just before she went to sleep.
I was going to say, we're all getting confused with time zones. It's early in the morning for me, it's late in the evening for you. But here we all are to talk about Eurovision, of course. And it's great to have you both. I think for a lot of people, we got to know Electric Fields back in 2019 when you tried to represent Australia and you came oh so close. I think it was second with the jury and second with the public. I mean, Michael, first of all, back in 2019, if somebody had said, oh, well, if you just wait 5 more years, it will be your turn, do you think you would have believed them?
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's look, it was such a wonderful experience the first time around, because it was our first kind of introduction to the Eurovision fandom, for one, which was just so beautiful to discover these people discovering us, but also the experience of performing on television to the cameras in a way of learning how to tell a story to people at home in their lounge rooms, because it's very different to what singer-songwriters grow up doing.
And Zachariah, how do you think you've developed over those 5 years? Do you both feel like different musicians than you were 5 years ago?
I feel like we've got a lot of muscle in the performance element to it now. Like, our stage presence has a lot of muscle and we hold the stage really well. And we love the audience. We've learned that the audience has become our co-workers. So we like to be with that energy and conjure the third party. And people would call that something spiritual, something whatever you want to call it. It is what that is. And we invite that onto the stage and we swing it with the audience. So we've learned how to move the stage more and just to enjoy it and be in the mystical, joyous fun of it all.
I'm excited to see that performance, because when we saw you in 2019...
really excited as well.
Well, the stage presence in 2019 was incredible as it is. So if you think you've got even better, I mean, gosh, what are we going to expect? That's going to be great, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to be even more exciting because the magnitude of the room as well, the atmosphere of the arena, knowing that there's going to be 190 million souls engaged in this one... moment, it's electrifying, and I think I would like to experience that, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to say after that the performance is done that we did it, and we can then speak to people like yourself on how it felt. We don't know what we're about to step into, but we have familiarity of it because of the 5 years of our muscle gain on performing and learning the stage and respecting the audience and respecting our craft and loving all our songs. One Milgali is a beautiful song. 2000 and whatever, all of the songs that we create, we treat them as if they're our children. So One Milgali is a beautiful child of ours, and we've gifted it to the globe. And how people will receive it is how they will receive it. But at the end of the day, we love our baby, and it is a very important message. And it hopefully resonates with anybody and everybody that is looking to seek inside themselves, to learn more about themselves as individuals, but what you mean in the collective of the human race as well.
Michael, Zachariah just described the song as your baby. When did you start working on the baby for this year?
I like how he says baby.
The baby.
We're going to put that in song.
Yeah.
Hey, what you looking at? My baby.
Yeah.
My baby.
You've got your accent's really cool as well, by the way.
That's very kind. You can put that in, use it as a sample in your next song.
My baby.
So what the question I heard was, when did we conceive this child? Well, it was in a Kennard's storage unit. So you know, like when you move house and you there's a big sort of industrial building that has all of these garage doors in it. Well, we were in one of them.
Very glamorous then.
It was so glamorous. And thankfully there were no rats scurrying past us this day. But yeah, but look, the fact is we actually started writing this song, One Milk Gully, for 5 years ago. It was our other option for 2000 whatever.
It's 2000 and whatever's twin.
Yeah, it's actually the twin baby.
30 seconds old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which twin is the favorite? Oh, no, parents don't have favorites.
Well, I'm a twin as well, so I'm really resonating with this conversation.
Oh, okay. What's your star sign?
What's my star sign? I'm a Virgo.
Oh, nice. Okay. A Beyonce. Jay-Z is a Sagittarius.
Oh my God.
Okay. Anyway, going back.
Yes, going back. Mm-hmm. So I remember saying to Z, look, this stage is probably the most profound stage you can have as a songwriter and a singer. So knowing that there would be so many beautiful, creative people watching from all around the world, what sentiment is worthy of that stage for us? And that's that opening line, knowing that you've got 190 million people with their eyes on you and taking Zachariah as the storyteller and bring it into I stand in the eye of the spiral and kind of owning that moment, that 3 minutes that, you know, will probably be what, three of the most important minutes of our lives. Mm-hmm. We'll see, but, you know. So yeah. we're taking it. Like, I mean, we're enjoying it, having fun, but we take it really seriously because, you know, we share our inner medicine and we share our philosophies. And so we wanted to use the opportunity to remind us and everyone that, you know, wants to hear it, that we are all more connected than we are divided. And so that's how the baby was born.
It's nice to see you both in such a good mood. I do you know what? There's nothing worse than doing an interview when the person is just in a grim mood. So thanks for being so upbeat. Right.
I'm in a grim mood. Oh, I'm really grim. I don't want you to think I'm having fun. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm really. Oh my
God. Let me ask you then. When did the conversations about Eurovision for this year start? Like, were you on the phone to SBS? Were SBS on the phone to you? How did it work this time?
Well, SBS and Blink TV are kind of the parents of Eurovision in Australia. They kind of support all of the artists that go over. And they did tap us on the shoulder, but it wasn't a you're it. It was a do you want to put a song up for consideration? And honestly, it just felt like we knew the answer was, yeah, we have to do this time. And it's interesting when a decision comes very naturally, going along with it just felt like the correct thing to do. And it was a conversation of, it probably went for 2 or 3 months, to be honest. And as the conversation progressed, it got closer and closer to a yes. So it wasn't really like a, you know, this is the yes moment. It just, the yes became like more and more, you know, in focus. And so when the yes did come, we were pretty much expecting it because it wasn't a rash decision. It was a pretty natural conversation. When it was a solid yes from both SBS and Blink TV, the first thing I did, besides talking to Mala, I called my parents.
And what did they say?
They were so overjoyed. They're so proud. And Mum is English. My grandfather is Italian. On my other side, my other grandfather's Scottish. My grandparents are all European. I feel like it's me reconnecting with my ancestors a bit. But other than that, she's just so proud of me. She just loves the pop. She's a party girl. So we make party music.
And Zachariah, then, how are rehearsals going? There's only a few weeks left before you're on that stage. How are those rehearsals going?
Rehearsals are going really, really strong. I feel like I'm happy vocally, movement-wise. I can't wait to just see the stage in person for the first time and be with my team and just make love, you know, just be in it. And then just appreciate all the other contestants as well and just know that we're, like, yes, it's a competition, but we're also there to entertain and heal something. You know, we've got our internal and external world that really wants a good relationship with each other. And I feel like this song contest is a part of healing some things that we avoid within ourselves. And I just want to be part of the massage of it. Mm-hmm. But the rehearsals are going really, really well. Thank you, James, my baby.
Yeah. I'm very pleased. One last one from me. I know you've got a busy schedule. What's the goal? First of all, in terms of a result, I probably know the answer. And then second of all, just generally, what are you looking to inspire other people? What's the overall goal?
Yes, we want to win. Mm. But that is not the expectation.
I feel like we would like to, like, we'll see what the vibe is, because we've worked with Kino before, and it would be nice to see whoever we, like, gel with the other artists.
Yeah, we might meet some artists and do some collabs.
And do more collabs.
I'm already just going through the other artists in my mind thinking, who can I see Electric Fields with? And I'm getting so many great combinations right now. So
And the first song would be Karma, baby.
Yeah, and well, next time you talk to Ollie Alexander, you know, maybe that's the first collab.
Nemo would be cool too. Nemo would be nice.
Look, the next artist I talk to and all the others, I'm just going to pitch it for you. I'm just going to say, look, Electric Fields want to do a collab.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, this has been great fun. Michael, Zachariah, thank you so much. And let me just wish you the very best of luck for Malmö this year.
Thank you.
Oh, weren't they just so much fun? Honestly, I love them both. I'm not entirely sure that Zachariah has nailed my accent, but never mind. He's got a few weeks until Malmö. Hopefully we can catch up again and see if the accent has improved. Anyway, that's it for today. No Rob means no 1 second song, which is great news for me and my 6-point lead. But thanks very much for listening. Don't forget that if you haven't already, our exclusive interview with Andrew Cartmell is ready and waiting for you. We released it on Monday this week, and it's the only place you'll hear from the UK's head of delegation. Also, free tickets to our live event on the 9th of May in Malmö are available now. The link to that is in the episode description, as is the link to our Buy Me a Coffee, your chance to chip in a few quid if you'd like to help us keep the podcast going. That's buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. And I'd love to hear from you as well before next Wednesday's episode. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can email us as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and don't forget to head over to eurotrippodcast.com itself for all of our exclusive stories. Make sure as well you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye, and I will see you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsedis.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.